Christ. Where a jerk like me, if I let him work on me, somebody might see Jesus after a while. Amen? Same thing with you. Because, you know, there's a lot of folks who are never going to read this. Amen? They're not going to touch this with a 10-foot pole a lot of times. But you know what? They might get to know you. And when you are allowing God to work on you and sort of bend you and I to the Lord's will, man, you know what? You start to look a little, sound like Jesus. You just do. And somebody's going to get blessed. Amen? God's going to use your life for a really good purpose through that. Amen. So before I talk about the wine-making one, I want to mention two other ways that are like God's part of working on us. One, you know very well, he's the potter, we're the clay. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art our potter. We are the work of your hand. And the vessel that the potter made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Now, anybody that would like these references, I'll be glad to share this with you after. I'm not going to mention the references, but these are scriptures that we're going to read about this and just comment as the Lord leads. The potter and the clay. God says, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord. In other words, the potter that was mentioned was making a vessel that had a defect in it. It had a, you know, some kind of hole or whatever. And so he took the lump and just, you know, got it all ready and put it back on the wheel and started all over again. And, you know, God had to do that with a lot of us. Amen? I don't know about you, but I came from Messville. Anybody else come from Messville, USA? I had a degree by the time I was age 23. You know what my degree was? It was the EF degree, which is expert failure. Yeah, man, I got that degree. Yeah, that's where I came from. And God had to, you know, once he revealed that he loved me and would accept me, washed me in the blood of Christ, and I got saved, he said, whoa, man, we got to take this lump and we need to start this one over here. And he starts working on us, you know. Potter in the clay. Now, another way that he works is a refining of like silver and gold. It says, and he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, so that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Wow. God is has anybody else felt a little heat sometimes in your life where stuff got hard? Situations happen, you know. Oh no, you mean I got to face this? Oh, that happened? Oh man, what a break. And the heat goes up. And you find out what's really in your heart. You know, if this is a cup right here, and I've got some liquid in that cup, you can't see it. But let me tell you, if I bump that cup, it spills out, and you know what's in the cup, don't you? Same thing when God has the heat a little bit turned up in our life and difficult things are happening to you and I, you find out what's in you. You know, if I'm going to buck and kick and scream and be stubborn, it comes out. If I'm going to be proud and angry and just start cussing, whatever, well, that's all going to come out when the heat is up. Amen. So God refines us through the heat. It says, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Some of us in this congregation right now, Brother Rob Arrington for one, for sure, are in the furnace of affliction. I don't know about you, but I hope all of us don't have to go through a 10, 11-hour surgery ever. But our brother has. And thank God he's surviving and he's hopefully moving forward. It's tough. It's tough, but he's still with us and has a good chance. Praise the Lord. But God, it says, I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction. How many would say here there were some things that happened in your life, maybe right now, that you would describe as an affliction? It could be a financial setback. It could be a a real tough family relationship. Could be all kinds of stuff. God says, I have chosen you. Where? In the furnace of affliction. In affliction, look for him. He's going to show up. Amen. Just when you need him. Zechariah says, I will bring the third part through the fire. I will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried. Now, after this happens, here comes something good. Then they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it's my people. And they will say, the Lord is my God. Somebody who goes through affliction, tough stuff, and clings to God and meets God and calls on God, you know what? That person is going to come out on the other side and say, I know who my God is. I know who brought me through that tough time. And you're going to have a solid faith. Amen? You probably wouldn't have had it without the affliction. Because one of the things that happens to us is when we got, you know, we got plenty of money, you know, we got a nice house, got a nice car, and our health is good. You know what? We really don't need God, do we? We don't feel that desperation of a need for God. But when affliction comes, it has a way of making us say, God, I need you. Lord, I need some help right now. Amen? That's when we really pray the most. So this verse says, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and his pity, he redeemed them and he bare them, carried them as a... I like that. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. God feels our pain. You know, amen? It says, in his love and his pity, he redeemed them. He bare them and carried them. Look at those words. Love, pity, redeemed, bear, carried. That sounds like a God that shows up when his people are going through a hard time. That's exactly what that sounds like. I've always loved this verse. It says, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. When you and I are in adversity, sometimes the person that's even the closest to you, maybe a husband, a wife, brother, sister, parent, they can't understand. It's not that they don't love you. They do love you. But what you're going through deep in your soul through that trial, that difficulty, not even your best friend can understand sometimes. Amen? Sometimes you can't even talk to that about it with your family. But the Bible says, he considers my trouble and he has known my soul in adversity. Guess what? When we're in trouble, he's coming nearer, not farther away. He notices. He knows the pain. I'm glad the Bible says that he will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape so that you can bear it. The hand is on the dial for the heat, but you know what? He'll only go so far. He knows what we can take. He knows what's actually going to purify us, cause us to cling to him more closely. And you know, then it says we're going to offer an offering in righteousness. It's just been tried and tested. So, one more about this silver and gold refining and when you're in tough times. The Bible says in Isaiah, I will open rivers in high places, fountains in the midst of the valleys. Listen, below my property, I have 2.5 acres in Oak Level. We've been blessed with a beautiful view. The neighbor's farm is right next to us. There's a hay field, about 6 acres. But if you go down to the left, I like to hike down there because there's a little stream. It's only about this wide. It's just a little one. But I love to listen to the sound of it. Is there anybody else likes the sound of a little brook? It's just so peaceful. I love to listen. And, you know, I've never seen it completely dry. It's always there. But you know, on each side of that little low place there, where the little hollow it is, you know, there's a big hill here, there's a big hill here. God says, hey, you can have a big hill of a problem right here, close to you, that you're dealing with, and then there's another one over here, and you're dealing with that one too. But guess what? God says, I'm going to send a spring in the valley. When we're in the valley, look for the spring. Jesus is there. You're going to meet him in prayer. You're going to find out he has not bailed out on you. He's going to meet you. I will open rivers in high places, fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water. You know, the wilderness of Israel and Judea, the wilderness meant a place where nobody wanted to build a house there. There's no vegetation there. The wilderness was almost like desert, rocky, you know, just a place where whatever dirt roads were down there, you got to watch out for robbers. Nobody wanted to live there. But God says, hey, if you're in the wilderness sometimes, I'm going to make a pool of water there. And then the dry land, springs of water. So I see something in this Isaiah verse. Anybody here ever felt like you just cut yourself down in a dark valley sometimes? Come on. Maybe it was a sickness. Whatever the trial was. Anybody else ever felt like you're just kind of been out in the wilderness sometimes? As far as your spiritual life goes, you just don't feel the Lord's presence sometimes and feel like you're struggling or dry, you know, spiritually dry? Well, God's going to send fountains in the midst of the valleys, wilderness, pool of water, dry. Look for God in those times. You know, and how many have house plants here? My wife does pretty good with house plants, except for she's a little bit of a thief. You got to watch out for her. Because you know what she'll do? I mean, with permission. She'll get a little clipping off your plant, just a little one, you know, and she'll wrap it in a little paper towel, wet paper towel. She'll bring it home, and guess what? Plants like her. And the next thing, it's this beautiful plant. I don't know. God gave her a talent. The plants like my wife. I like her too, by the way. But you know what it is about house plants? At least I'm told this. If this is the plant, and this is the pretty part up here, you know what? If you reach your hand in and feel the soil, you can overwater it. I've heard this. I don't know about all plants. But if you put too much water, the roots don't do well. They get waterlogged or something, and the plant can die. So when you have a little bit of a dry time, those roots start searching down low for more water. And the root system gets stronger. This is what I'm told. Some of you know more about plants. Am I correct on that? The roots go deeper in dry time. They're searching. Same thing with you and I. When we're in a rough spot, dry place, a valley, a wilderness, you know what? If we're going to get through this, you know what we got to do? We got to find, we say, God, I need you. This is hard, God. Come on. Anybody else have to do that sometimes besides me? Sometimes I find life is like, Lord, I got to have your help. I can't do this, God. I mean, that's how it gets. But you know what you find? God is like, I'm here. I'm going to help you. You can do this. Don't give up. Amen? Amen? And you get through it. You know what you come out with? Not only a little bit deeper roots, but you come out with a little more spiritual muscle. And then you tell your brother or sister that's struggling, say, hey, you know what? God got me through. He's going to get you through too. I've been through that. I know he's going to help you. Amen? Because you got some deeper roots through the valley in the dry time. Repent ye therefore and be converted, the book of Acts says, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. He's going to bring those times of refreshing when you're in the tough spot. Now, with our remaining time, I want to talk about this winemaking process, emptied from vessel to vessel. In this example, all right, can we picture in our mind's eye a cellar, the winemaker, France, wherever you want to do, and all of the barrels are there. They're on these racks and, you know, more barrels up here, and he's got them over here. It's just cool. It's underground. It's stone. It's like a cave, whatever. And if the wine stays in one vessel all the time, the refining process cannot happen. So what winemakers do, at least I'm told this, is they'll take it after a period of time out of this barrel, and he knows the right time, and then he pours it into another barrel. And in each barrel, a period of time, and stuff settles out. It has to be completely still, and the husks of the grape, whatever else was in the wine during the, you know, crushing of the grapes, gradually settles out down to the bottom, The bottom is where we have the dregs. Lees, L-E-E-S, is the term as well. Now, there is a scent and a fragrant to in the barrel at the bottom where the stuff settles, and that has a fragrance in it. And the winemaker wants the wine to have a good smell, a good fragrance, doesn't want those dregs in the bottom. And they can get crusty as well. In this example, we are the wine. We're not the vessel, we're the wine in this example in Jeremiah. And the vessels are quite distinct from us and are produced by the winemaker alone, serving only for refining of the wine. The vessels, the different barrels, are situations. Have you ever had a challenging situation? Okay, obviously yes. I can imagine Brother Leland at some of these supervisor meetings where you have these issues to discuss and vote on. I bet that gets pretty challenging at times, amen, in those supervisory meetings there. Challenges like steps of faith. Have you had to take some real steps of faith sometimes? Of course we have. I can remember when the Lord opened the door for me to be a full-time chaplain in the prison system. About 1 year into that, I panicked. I felt like I was on a surfboard. You ever watch the big surfers on the big waves in Hawaii? Well, I felt like I was on a really big wave, but I still hadn't learned how to surf the little ones yet. And I was about ready to quit the jail ministry because it was too overwhelming. I got too scared. But thank God my wife helped me to stick in there and stuck with me, and God helped us. Steps of faith can be these barrels, these situations. How about a wayward child? Has anybody here ever dealt with a wayward child? Sometimes that'll be a situation that you find yourself in. Maybe it's a financial hit. Maybe a sickness hits us. We haven't had it too much yet, but some Christians really, really are in persecution in parts of the world. It's coming for Americans too, by the way. You know that. The way our culture is going, persecution is coming. We don't have to be afraid of it. The Bible said all who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. So it's coming in America. Another situation might be just, have you ever had a situation where you were completely misunderstood? That happens. And you're in this you're in the vessel. And you're the wine in there. Well, in those situations, they're all hard. There's some stuff that God wants to settle out of us. You know, just get settled down to the bottom. And Moab settled on his lees. He wouldn't allow himself to be emptied from vessel to vessel. So he was kind of resistant to the Lord. The Holy Spirit's working on us. We're in the school of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit was not given to you and I when we got saved because we're mature. Amen? You know, the Bible says the Christian has the Holy Spirit inside. And the Holy Spirit was given to me and to you because we're not mature. And He's going to help us. He's going to work on us. Amen? He's going to refine us. I want to read something to you from a favorite author of mine very quickly, Charles Swindoll. By accepting life's tests and temptations as friends... Whoa. That's quite a statement. Life's testings and temptations as friends. We become men and women of mature character. There is no shortcut, no such thing as instant endurance. The pain brought on by interruptions and disappointments, by loss and failure, by accidents and disease, is the long and arduous road to maturity. There is no other road. The Lord sustains all who fall and raises up who are bowed down. Listen, I wish I could grow without any pain. But I can. I grow the most when I have pain, when I have a hard thing, when I have a challenge. It's just when I seek the Lord the most is when it hurts. So anyway, we can't be afraid of these things. God wants our wills to be yielded, spirits mellowed, broken and patient. And then we will then become that refined wine that God wants, the refined wine. Don't you love being in the presence of a mature saint? Amen? I love that. I know there. That's the way that I look up to some folks in here. I really enjoy being with the mature saints that are here. They're a blessing in our lives. They've kind of been through some things. And that's why they're kind of like that refined wine. Amen. What's our part? These is God's part. God is, you know, the refiner, the potter, and the winemaker. This is God's part. Now, what's our part? Well, you know, we want to be flexible. Luke says, no man puts new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. In the Bible times, a bottle was like a skin. It was like a goat skin or something. Some kind of leather bottle, you know. And when you're going to put a new vintage in there, it's going to ferment and expand. So you don't put it in an older kind of leather goat skin bottle. You don't put it in there because the wine is going to expand, burst the skin, and everything's going to be lost. So it has to be put into fresh, new wineskins, and so that it can be flexible. How many have found that God wanted us to be more flexible in our personal life and how we walk with Christ? I have. I was sort of rigid on my opinion on this and that and didn't kind of stubborn. And I found out over the years, hey, John, you're not so right as you thought you were. You know, you need to listen to others. You need to be flexible. Anybody else get dealt with like that sometimes? Of course. New wine has to be put into new wineskins. Here's one from Zephaniah. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles, punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will do no good. Settled on their lees, you have the barrel, you have the wine in there, and the wine has just stayed there in that same way and settled on its lees. The lees are kind of crusty sediment at the bottom. It's getting hard, it's getting crusty, and it has a bad odor. And Moab was like that. Moab was very proud and wouldn't change in his own personal life. Amos says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. One of our biggest dangers, one of my biggest dangers is comfort, affluence. You know, this is something that we seek after, typically, in our country. We want ease, we want comfort, we want affluence. But you know what? It's dangerous. Because we don't feel a need for God when we have that. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. We have to learn to accept setbacks with joy. 1 Peter, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness, through manifold temptations. Peter said, rejoice, even though you go through manifold temptations. Listen, 183 times in this book, the word rejoice is there. And you know that God said to rejoice to some people that were in a real tough time. 183 times he says rejoice. Well, not all those 183 times people were going through a real easy time. Some were going through a really hard time. So God says we actually can find joy. James said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now here's the why of it all, the purpose. Again, God is wanting to take you and I that are not born looking like Jesus. We're not moldable and yielded to God like Jesus. We're kind of stiff as we're born. We want our own way. But he's changing us year by year, week by week, little by little, through your devotional life, through your fellowship, through your prayers, through your service. And man, little by little, we're starting to look like and sound like Jesus. And as that's happening, guess what? Your life's purpose is being fulfilled. That's the purpose. That's why we're here, to be conformed to him. He knows the way that I take, Job said. When he's tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Now, listen to this one from Isaiah. In this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees, well refined. God's wanting to make you and I well refined wine. Wine is a symbol of joy in the Bible. God wants to spread his joy through us, his love through us, his goodness through us. And if we yield to the refining process, it'll happen. And you know, as we age, here's one for us, as we age. Even to your old age I am he, and even to gray hairs will I carry you. I have made, I will bear, even I will carry, and I will deliver you. That's comforting as we age. One of my favorite verses, Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, I am with thee. Do not be dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, and I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You know, when somebody suffers with joy, love, and thankfulness, it brings great glory to God. My wife used to work at King's Grant for about 13 years with elderly folks at King's Grant Retirement Community, and there were some really choice saints in there who, even though their health was really in decline, they still had this beautiful joy, this beautiful faith, this beautiful spirit. We got to meet a lady in Wisconsin many years ago. Her name was Lenore Carmody. Lenore was maybe 50-ish, right, Trudy? In her 50s, married to Dean, her husband, had a son, Kevin. Lenore came down in her 50s with rheumatoid arthritis, to where her fingers kind of looked like little flabby little things that would just flap around. I mean, the poor gal, it just, and they did a surgery on her, took some tendons out of the feet and the toes, tried to put them up here. I mean, this is what she went through to try to get a little use out of her hands, Lenore Carmody. But you talk about a sweet, sweet, never complaining woman of God. I mean, there was no self-pity. She just was so loving towards her husband, Dean, and Dean just loved her. He thought the world of Lenore. The way she getting around her, you just felt uplifted. And here she's got rheumatoid arthritis, you know. Wow. She was that wine well refined by the master winemaker. Amen. Well, I want to start for the remaining Sundays that I'm here. And I've gone long again, I'm sorry. But I want to leave something with you each week if I can. I want to leave at least one verse of, say, I would call just a nutshell of the gospel. You know, the very first sermon that was preached ever was by Peter in the book of Acts. And you know what he said? He said, repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's a good verse. It's Acts 2:38. You know, I believe probably all of us have been through repentance. You know, here's repentance. I'm going this way, and I thought, you know, my way is not the right way. Lord, this is not working. I'm sorry. I am not right, Lord. I'm willing to turn from me being the boss to, Lord, teach me your way. That's repentance. So I believe probably everybody here has done that. But the Bible also says be baptized. There might be somebody here this morning, you need to take that step. Let's pray. Maybe this is a year. Is there a tank up there? Is that right? Well, maybe this year here at Beulah Baptist Church, we're going to see some baptisms. Some people come to Jesus. Maybe some people who do believe in the Lord, but they never were baptized. You know, it's a public declaration of something that's already happened in your heart, you know. Maybe somebody here needs to be baptized, if you never have been. So, having said that, I'm going to stop there. Here's the big point of application to all of this, is when God is doing some refining and the heat's on, when he's doing some pottery work that's maybe a little painful sometimes, a little reshaping of me and you, and when he's got us in a particular vessel, and there we are in a vessel we didn't really ask for, and there we are, he's got us settling some things out of our life, you know what? Don't give up and don't get discouraged. He's got a good purpose in mind. He's making you and I conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. He's got to take some things out as he's putting some good stuff into us. Amen? And the goal is that our life is going to give glory to God. We're going to be to the praise of his glory. Amen. So if our musician would come, and Linda, would you come? Amen.